I want you to look again this morning. Notice verse 24 of this text. The Apostle Paul is really offering here a certain valuation about life that frankly hardly anybody in today's society would ever buy into. He says, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry, which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." I want you to notice in particular this morning that word dear at the beginning of the verse. The Greek word timios literally means precious. In fact, it is translated as precious in 1 Corinthians 3:12, which talks about gold and silver and precious stones. Peter uses the word as well when he wrote, "The trial of our faith was, quote, more precious than gold." The Apostle John also used this exact same word. He described the glories of heaven in Revelation 21 by saying, "Her light was like unto a stone most precious," and later that the foundations of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. So you see, when Paul refers in verse 24 to his life being dear, he is talking specifically about how precious his life is to him. And of course, the sanctity of life, to use a popular phrase, the precious value of one person's days, whether it's 70 or 3.5 months, we all know that God places tremendous value on that human life. Far more value, obviously, we all know, than the world ever does. And so, would it surprise you then to know that there is something that God places more value upon, that God considers more precious, even than human life? So that not surprisingly, when the Apostle Paul speaks under inspiration of the Holy Spirit about his own life, he immediately identifies what it is that God values more than life itself. Notice verse 22. "Now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save or except that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear, precious unto myself, so that I might finish my course." In other words, now note this. As far as the Apostle Paul was concerned, faithfulness, finishing his course was more valuable, more precious than life itself. And of course, he's not alone in this text. Jesus said in Revelation 2:10, "Be thou faithful until death." Faithfulness was more precious to Christ than life itself. And by the way, it's not just faithfulness to anything that is more precious than life. It is rather, as Paul says, faithfulness to your calling as a believer. Faithfulness to what God calls in verse 25, the kingdom of God. And you'll notice the last line of verse 24 says, "I have received of the Lord Jesus the gospel of the grace of God." In other words, faithfulness to your calling as a child of God, and thus faithfulness to the Lord Jesus himself. That, ladies and gentlemen, is more precious. It is of greater value than life itself. And for the next few moments, I want us to look at the Scriptures in considering and understanding why that is so. Our Father, we thank you for your Word and the power of it, the presence of your Spirit. We pray, God, that Paul's testimony here, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and not only his words, but the following and subsequent actions of his life would remind us that there are some things that are more precious than human life. May we understand what that means for us as your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20 was about to say farewell to one group of believers that he had spent more time with, had invested more of his life into than any other church in any other region. He says in verse 18, look at it, would you? "And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know that from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mine, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. And now I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but I've showed you and taught you publicly and from house to house. So in other words, Paul is taking a moment with these believers to look back at the past 3 years in Ephesus. He's talking with them before he tells them in a sort of last will and testament. What is his conviction about the future? For a moment, he looks back and he talks about the time that they spent together. And now he's going to say something with conviction in his soul about what lies ahead. And it is here, beloved, that Paul makes this powerful statement about the value and about the glory of one simple virtue in the Christian life. We call it, and it is called faithfulness. Verse 24 again. None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. Paul says, I want you to know what I believe about faithfulness, about endurance, about finishing the race that God has already put me in. And he says, I do not count my life as dear or as precious as the calling that God has given me as his servant. May I say, I don't believe for an instant that the specific race that this man Paul was called to run as an apostle in the first century, he penned half of the books in the New Testament nearly. I don't think for a moment that we are all supposed to extrapolate from that testimony that all believers are called to the exact same bonds and afflictions that he experienced. Paul had a unique calling that involved some unique afflictions, which, by the way, is precisely why the word faithfulness is so powerful for us here today. You see, God doesn't ask all of us in this room to be poor. Necessarily, God doesn't ask all of us in this room to be wealthy or imprisoned or influential or obscure or famous. The Marine motto is Semper Fidelis. Always faithful. And you know what? That applies to the Marine who is fighting in an unstable Afghanistan or the Marine who's in Washington attending the president's transport. In either case, they can both be faithful with what they are given to do. Always faithful. And so Paul says in this text, he is not saying that everyone runs the exact same race. They do not. What he does say, however, is that whether you realize it or not, everybody's life is exactly the same in value. And for every Christian in this room, your faithfulness, all of us, our faithfulness to God is of greater value than our very life. If you're wondering here this morning what that means, what does that mean for me, Pastor? Rest assured, God answers the question in the very text. For example, the first thing you will notice that Paul had in mind was the fact that faithfulness, number one, was more valuable than comfort in life. Verse 22, and now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Folks, do you notice a lack of security that Paul has about the future in that verse? You know why? Because by being faithful to his calling, Paul realized that he was going to give up security about the future, at least security as far as comfort goes. So he says, I don't know what's going to befall me. I don't know what's going to happen when I get there, but I know that it's not good. Why? Verse 23. Save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. In other words, by doing what he believed he was called to do, Paul knew one thing. Paul knew that he was leaving somewhat of a comfort zone. He had already fought those battles in Ephesus, and now he's going to a danger zone. And Paul, what have you got to say about that? And Paul answers, in fact, these words, none of these things move me. These things will not keep me from being faithful. Why? Because Paul says, comfort is not as precious to me as faithfulness to Christ, as faithfulness to the will of God. Now again, folks, I don't pretend to believe that all believers are called to the exact same level of discomfort as Paul. However, the valuation is still exactly the same. Our comfort is not as valuable. It is not as precious as our faithfulness to our God. So, if you're ever weighing on the scale, should I be comfortable or faithful about going to church Sunday morning? Should I be comfortable or faithful when it comes to my tithe? Should I be comfortable or faithful when I'm called to witness to someone? Should I be comfortable or should I be faithful with my neighbor? If you're ever put in a position to choose comfort over faithfulness to the Bible and faithfulness to Christ, remember this. Remember that your life is never as precious as your position and your calling before God. You know, folks, we live in the United States of America. We enjoy, as Brother Jewell just mentioned a moment ago, so true. We enjoy more creature comforts in this society than in any nation in the history of the world at this very moment. And of course now, because it's been so comfortable for so long, we want our children, above all else, to be entirely comfortable and never have to sacrifice. Parents believe their kids should never be allowed to fail at school or have to work for what they get. If the teacher at school doesn't give little Precious Perfect an A, or makes them have to work for what they attain, if that teacher ever makes little Precious Perfect sit out in the hot sun during PE or during recess, you know, that's a parent-teacher conflict. There's a problem right there. So comfort is always preeminent with youth in our culture. And it begins with my own baby boomer generation that embraces comfort and then insists on comfort above all else for our own children. Pastor, I can't wear that to church. It's not comfortable. Pastor, I don't feel comfortable singing out of a hymnal or reading that old King James English. I'm not comfortable even carrying a Bible to church. Well, you know what, folks? Heaven knows that your comfort is the most important thing in the kingdom of God. That's why I get these brochures. But you get them too in this area. Come to the Comfort Community Fellowship of Love. Come as you are, right? Come as you are. Come in your PJs. Come in your tennis outfit. Because the most important thing about coming to serve God and worship Him is how comfortable you feel. There's no guilty sermons at the Comfort Community Fellowship of Love. There's nothing, quote, boring or convicting or thought-provoking or challenging, because above all else, we want you to feel comfortable. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a church for postmodern America, and they're everywhere, and they're very popular. And no, they are not making a dent when it comes to helping a generation of young people understand the glory of faithfulness. God, help us all as Christians and help Beacon Baptist Church be a church that knows that faithfulness is more important than comfort. The number one reason why mission boards are seeing a decline in their candidates is that comfort is valued more highly than faithfulness. To leave this country and go almost anywhere else in the world, you have to leave comfort and go to disco. I remember Brother Jewell, I remember when you first got over there, they were stealing your stuff. He was on the rooftop with a rifle, as I recall. Am I right about that? With rocks. Well, David had his small stones, right? All night long. Stay up during the night. You know, if that is the reason, and this is the material I've been getting from mission boards, saying that young people are growing up coddled and pampered, and even in churches told that comfort is more important than faithfulness, it's no wonder the candidates at mission boards is declining. Paul says this. Paul says, you know what? I am more than ready to leave this place of relative comfort and go out to Jerusalem, because my life is not as precious to me. Comfort is not as valuable to me as faithfulness. Faithfulness is more precious than comfort. That's not all. The second thing you'll notice he says, number two, is that faithfulness is more valuable than companionship. Look at verse 25. He says, "And now behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more." Okay, then why leave? Why would these men and women, boys and girls, and remember when they knelt on the seashore and hugged him and wept? Why should he have to say goodbye? and see his face no more on this planet. Why do that? Look at verse 36. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. It was goodbye. You know, everybody in this room today understands and appreciates the tremendous importance in life that companionship and fellowship brings. It was God himself who said, it is not good that man should be alone. And the truth is, friends, family members, loved ones may well be the most valuable, precious thing in any person's life. And yet, as precious as they are, the Bible still testifies that companionship is not as valuable as fellowship is, as faithfulness is. So, guess what? Here is Paul. He sees on the one hand, he's bound in the Spirit, it says, to go to Jerusalem. That's part of his calling. On the other hand, he sees all of these friends that he has taught and won to Christ, brothers and sisters. He's grown to love them so dearly and deeply, he has to make a judgment. Now understand this, folks. It is not just a choice. It is more than a choice. That's a false notion. It is not a choice. Which will I do? In this context, it is a judgment. Which is more precious? Which really is more valuable? You see the word count there in verse 24? You know what that means in the original ancient Greek text? It means count. It means to add up, to weigh, to take into account the value of something. Matter of fact, it's exactly what Satan did regarding human life in Job chapter 2. Do you remember what the devil said to God and to Job? Skin for skin, the devil said, all that a man hath will he give for his life. In other words, the devil argued with God that indeed life is precious. A commander will turn an entire ship around and put all of his men in harm's way to go back and rescue one sailor who's fallen overboard. Mothers will run into a burning building, risking a lifetime of scarring and burning to save one little infant's life. Life is precious. But you know, Satan added that life is the most precious. He said it is the most valuable thing of all to man, all that a man hath. He's talking about Job. All that a man hath will he give in exchange for his life. Is that true? I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that it is almost always true. But it is not true when it comes to someone who is as faithful as Job. And so with Paul, who said, I do not count my life dear unto myself. I do not count my life precious enough to quit my race, even for the sake of companionship. Earthly friends are precious. Loved ones are precious. But listen to me. The Bible teaches they are not as precious as the will of God for my individual life or for your individual life. Faithfulness is more valuable than comfort. It is more valuable than companionship, number three. Notice he also says that faithfulness is more valuable than crowns, specifically earthly crowns. Notice, if you would, verse 29. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. For of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Do you realize what Paul is saying in that text? He is saying and admitting that as soon as he leaves the church at Ephesus, or sometime after his departing, other teachers, other preachers are going to come in and fill the pulpit after him, even from among the congregation. They will not just teach false doctrine. He says, I know that these grievous wolves will also draw away those converts, those disciples, after and to themselves. In other words, 3 years of labor and love will be stolen by these grievous wolves. And you know what the world would say? The world would say, Paul, don't leave. Don't leave. Look at what you've accomplished. Look at what you've done. Look at what you've built. They're weeping. They're crying. Don't leave and allow it, therefore, to be harmed. Don't leave those poverty. Don't leave for those poverty-stricken rabble-rousers in Jerusalem who are waiting there with rocks in their hands to stone you to death, to leave the prosperity you've enjoyed in Asia. Why leave a place of success and go to a place of failure? Why leave a crown and go to a cross? And you know what? Based on that valuation alone, I agree. I say choose the success. Based on that valuation alone, choose the crown. Asia Minor, after all, was more successful than Jerusalem. There's just one thing wrong with the evaluation, and that is Paul was not running his race to be successful. He was running to be faithful. He was running in order to finish. I remind you of Jesus' parable in the closing words, "Well done, thou good and successful servant." He didn't say that. Because we in this world and all of us would misunderstand what he means by the word success. He didn't say successful. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," because faithfulness may not be success in the eyes of this world. The Bible says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found not successful, not even talented, but faithful." In other words, it wasn't a matter of how big and influential the church at Ephesus had become. It wasn't a matter of what befell the apostle at Jerusalem either. It was just a matter of whether or not he finished his race and was faithful. You know, folks, that statement there in verse 24, that statement of faithfulness which says, "so that I might finish my course with joy." Guess what? The one other place in Scripture where Paul makes that same analogy. He makes it 6 years after this, 6 years later in 2 Timothy 4 when he says this, "The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Paul says, "I did not count my life dear unto myself. My comfort, my companionship, my crowns were not as precious to me as faithfulness in this race for him." So that when he finally says, "I finished my course," you know what the very next line in that text is? "Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown." Now, wait a minute. A crown? Yes. Jesus said, "He that loses his life shall save it," right? So therefore, when Paul said, "I don't count my life as precious as faithfulness to Christ," he found his life and his crown in losing it for Jesus. So think about this. Think about this one truth for just a moment. Why is faithfulness better? Why is it more precious and of more value than life itself? It's very simple. For the Christian, his comfort, his companionship, and his crown, all three of those, he receives at the end of his race for eternity. In other words, Demas sold his faithfulness for a few years of temporal comfort and success. And that was not a good bargain, because faithfulness is worth more than life. It was Edward Everett Hale who wrote in 1889, "I am only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. And what I can do, I ought to do. And what I ought to do, by the grace of God, I shall do." That's faithfulness. What's more valuable than your comforted mind? What's more valuable than any crown we could receive down here? What's more valuable than even companionship in this world and life? It is faithfulness. When I was a boy growing up in Patrick Air Force Base, I used to ride the Air Force bus to the NCO Club, Officers Club swimming pool. They had a really scary high dive there, and when you climbed to the top, you could see on the opposite side, a hangar area. in the airport, and the mechanics would work on the jets and the airplanes there. And they had a huge sign painted all across the front of one of the hangars. It didn't say much, but it always said a lot to me, and I've never forgotten it. It said, very simply, faithful, whatever the cost. Beloved, it is a wonderful thing this morning that God does not value highest from us our talents or our wealth or our beauty or our success or our popularity. God values and places in highest value what all of us can possess, no matter who we are or where we are, regardless of your ability. God values what you can have, and that is being faithful. Mothers in this room, you have a high and holy calling. Be faithful. Be faithful. Fathers in this room, be a father. Be there. Be faithful, because that is a high and a holy calling for you. You sing in the choir, be faithful. You're in the orchestra, you work in nursery, children's church, Sunday school, bus ministry, be faithful. You're a Christian, you're a child of God, you're born again into this eternal family. You walk out of those doors and Jesus says you are the light of the world, then guess what? Be faithful. Your faithfulness to your Savior is more important than your very life itself. For there were many millions and millions of Christians before us who said, I will be faithful, even if it means giving up my life. And they were faithful to the end. You know, our Lord told us to seek the things which are above, to set our affections there. Faithfulness is something that comes from above. That's why we're told to keep our eyes on Jesus when we run our race, because he was the author and the finisher. He was faithful. One of the main reasons, one of the great benefits of coming together as God's people and opening up his word is being reminded of eternal things and things that truly matter. We live in a world where somebody came in the night and changed all the price tags, and all the things that were worthless, they made the highest price, and all the things that were highest price, they call worthless. And so we come to the scripture and we find out that what really means great value to God is faithfulness. Father, bless the invitation. I pray that we as a church will be faithful to you, to your word, to the calling that you've given us. I pray that Paul's example of a man who said, I count not my life dear to myself. May we die to self. May we die to self so that we can be faithful no matter what comfort, discomfort, companionship, or loss of it, crown or no crown. We commit this invitation in your hand. We ask for your blessing. For those who have asked for prayer, Lord, draw them to you, please. In Jesus' precious name, amen.